Hello, greetings. I am the monitor of Installation 04. I am 343 Guilty Spark. You're listening to Rage Quit Radio. Save their heads. Dispose of the rest.
Hi, my name's Peter Thomas. Have you heard about the puppies we need to save today? For 10 cents a minute, you can sit here and donate and save all of the abused puppies that look at the TV screen, very sadly, and want a home, but they can't because they're being beaten constantly. Just 10 cents. All you have to do is text hashtag 74012. Is that good?
Shiite Muslim gonna die.
Oh my god, you're gonna die, so you might as well kill one of them.
Welcome to Rage Quit Radio.
I very well might be.
Why the heck am I lagging?
Oh no.
Has joined the channel.
Are you kidding me? Thank you.
Okay.
Come on, wait, come on.
I really hate you.
What the fuck is with this guy?
Prowler. Has joined the channel.
Oh, why'd you guys leave me, God?
Negative Apex. Has joined the channel.
Oh my, what the fuck? What is Sona doing?
Go, go, go. Kill him. Oh, I'm gonna miss the edge. You guys suck balls, man.
Welcome to Rage Quit Radio. I am your host, Lance, a.k.a. Sev, joined by my co-host, Prowler. I'm sorry, Ian, a.k.a. Prowler. Sorry, I messed up your name. What's going on, buddy? Are you there?
I quit.
Oh, okay. Ah, okay. As long as you're here, and then you can quit after the show. That's cool.
Okay.
I'll pay you later. And we're joined by a special guest, Peter Thomas, a.k.a. Peter Thomas. What's going on, dude?
Hey, man. How's it going? Thanks for having me.
Oh, man. Thanks for being here. It's so nice. He's actually filling in for Negative Apex because he is being a douche. Actually, don't remember why he's not here.
I totally forgot. It probably has some gigantic, huge, important reason, and we're just upset about it.
I think he said he had to go out of town. Like, I'm pretty sure he's on a drug run, actually.
Damn drugs fucking up the community.
Yeah. So, you guys are going to have to deal with Mr. Peter Thomas. So, for you guys to get to know a little bit about Peter. Peter, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. And I just realized while you were talking that it is super, super odd to have your first and last name actually be your username for everything. You introduced me and then said my username, and I'm like, that is just not as cool as Prowler.
It's also not as creepy.
Yeah, there you go. I was going to say creepy. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when he breathes like that, it's not all that great. But yeah, no, thanks again for having me. You know, I'm just, I don't do too much anymore. I do a lot of the whole Twitch streaming thing, so you can usually find me there. I'm a big gamer, hence why you guys pulled me in to sub in for Apex.
Absolutely.
But it's not too much. But I used to write a whole bunch. Like I said, I wrote a lot for different websites since 2008. I did participate in a couple of podcasts before, and like I said, now it's just all streaming. If I don't work, I'm usually streaming live. I've been doing a lot of League of Legends, no thanks to you guys.
We're sorry.
I've been hooked on that. And then, you know, I try and stay up to date on most of the games. So I just finished up Hyrule Warriors, which was really cool. And I'm now in the whole Smash Brothers mode. So been doing a whole lot of that on the 3DS. But not too much. Short and sweet. And again, I appreciate having you guys having me on here.
So you're going to really enjoy how we do things on the show. You're going to see how unprepared we are for everything, mm-hmm. and how I love to post articles but not read them. You'll see how that is.
Yep. Yeah, that's pretty much how it goes.
Here's me, who's read everything. I'm like, I got to make sure I'm totally prepared. I don't want to skip a beat.
Great, we don't have to talk at all. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's got this, man. All right, Peter, go ahead. You got it. We'll go ahead and take five. Or 60.
Grab another beer.
I got this. You guys go ahead. I'm going to take care of this. And when you get back, it's going to be the best show ever. You're going to hit all new numbers.
Yeah, because we're not in it.
There you go.
Anyway, Alien Isolation is finally here. I mean, it's finally here after,
I don't know.
2 years it was announced to go, maybe?
Was it 2 years?
Maybe a year? No. No, it was E3. What am I thinking?
Yeah,
it was E3. Anyway.
It does seem like a year, though.
Yeah, it does. We were actually really, really looking forward to this game. We haven't been able to pick it up just yet, but we're on it. Promise, we're on it. We're gonna do a old Rage Quit Radio review. It's gonna come. Anyway, speaking of reviews, this game has gotten sort of mixed reviews lately through it. I'm not quite sure if it's warranted. I don't know if you guys have read some of the reviews that other developers have put out. And I'm pretty sure now that it is actually out to the public, we should be getting user reviews on IGN and Metacritic. I'm trying to make people realize that there are other review websites out there besides IGN, and the fact that I just said IGN first. Yeah, because...
Not in your head.
Hey, I will
That's
say...
That's funny because all your posts are from IGN.
No, they're not. Look at the next one down. Joystick.
Okay. You win.
And then YouTube, the Kotaku. Shut up. You're thinking of Josh.
I thought you were just going there because Naomi Kyle. No, man.
Ever since Chobot left, this hasn't been the same. Anyway, let's get back on
topic,
guys.
What's wrong with Naomi Kyle?
Nothing.
What's wrong
it's
with
just,
her?
I feel like they just
You're
replaced
just a hater.
Her. No, I just feel like Naomi Kyle is just a blonde Chobot. Dude, she looks just like her. You can't ignore that.
I quit.
Anyway.
So that game, yeah.
Yeah, Alien Isolation. Speaking of IGN, they were one of the only reviewers that gave it such a low rating. And they actually gave... some of the reasons why they docked it points kind of baffles me. Like, for instance, the AI was too frustrating. And now, does anyone know, between you guys, like, what they reviewed for Dark Souls? Because...
I know they gave the DLC a decent review, and the DLC recently for Dark Souls 2 has been pretty rough.
Yeah, I was going to say, most of the core games have always been really well, at least 8s or so, if not better.
Dark Souls 2 from IGN got a 9.0, so...
Okay, so I just cannot see this game being harder than Dark Souls, just because it's Dark Souls, and it's known for its difficulty.
And they also, in the article, they said that they played it on hard because in the description, like, you know how in most of the newer games, they say, like, there's like a little catch title that goes with like the modifier, and they said, and if you picked hard, it said this is the way the game was meant to be played. So they chose it intentionally, like they picked hard and played the game on hard.
So see, and that just makes me even more depressed and less confident in an IGN's pick or editors that they use to review this stuff. Because if you're really going to dock something that because it's too hard, maybe did he just suck at the game? was it really that difficult? Because I'm not really seeing anything from anyone else. I mean,
gave it a 6.
Well, no. I was going to say that I haven't seen anyone from anyone else saying anything from anyone else saying that they've docked at points because it's too hard. Is that what GameSpot's saying?
I didn't read it. The Canadian, I didn't read it.
Oh my god. Anyway, I don't know. I feel like it's just not warranted to really dock a game because it's difficult.
If it's frustrating and you can't get anywhere, I could see why you would do that, you know? I mean, if it's like unbeatable.
The other thing that kills me about it, actually, is something that everybody... It's one of those things... someone once told me a long time ago that gamers don't actually know what they want. And you have a lot of these people who are... You know, I would say that Aliens was probably trying to be like one of those, you know, big main titles that everybody wants to play. And they talk about you know, spending $60 on a game that only gives you like 5 or 6 hours. And if you read through the article, one of the things that they hated too, outside of the difficulty, was the length of time that you played the game. They said they spent anywhere from 15, I think, to 20 hours, I think were the numbers they used. And it bothers me because it's like, you guys always complain that you spent $60 on a game that was too short. Now this game is too long. It's like, well, what is comfortable for you guys? Like, you want short, you want long. Now, you know, and now you're taking points off because the game has too much content. And they hide it under the word sameness is what they were calling it. Everything is the same. You're doing the same thing. I have a hard time believing that. I mean, if it's a survival horror game, then it's probably doing survival horror things. But, I mean, how different do you want it to be, you know?
Yeah. Like I said, IGN is not the only editor or reviewer. And a lot of gamers do flock to IGN. So anybody who is interested in Alien, I mean, yeah, go look at the review and decide for yourself on whether or not you are interested in it. But please do this. Please go look at other reviews. I mean, PC Gamer gave it a 93 out of 100 on Metacritic and said that it's taunt, confident, and electrifying horror. Electrifying horror. This is the Alien game that we've always deserved, whereas IGN says it's not. So there's plenty of reviews out there. Just please go look and do research and don't just make a decision based off of one review. I've been just seeing a lot of people saying they're not getting the game strictly because of that, and it makes me sick.
Well, when you were talking about like the game is too hard, I thought back to Gamescom and the Bloodborne demo.
Oh yeah,
they had to put up a sign that said, please walk up to the ladder to the right. And so one of the guys were like, oh, well, you know, I guess it's poor map design. You know, they can't find the ladder. When you spawn in, it was literally right next to you. And apparently all the gaming journalists ran around in a circle trying to find the ladder.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know.
You know, the other thing you want to note, too, is if you're looking at, if you just stick with Metacritic and look at like the whole list of them, you go down the list and going from the last well-known that I know of, Joystick gave it an 80, give or take. If you go down to the next one, the jump is 20 points. So it makes you really wonder what exactly they were seeing that honestly deserved to drop it essentially two letter grades.
Yeah.
You know, if it's just on difficulty, I think that's a little too harsh. Like 5 points, give or take, you know, on difficulty alone might be something. But again, you go back to what you said about Dark Souls, like everybody praised and really loved the fact that Dark Souls and Dark Souls 2 were so hard. And now it, too hard is now no longer, you know, warranted. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't understand. But I guess we're just going to have to get the game and check it out for ourselves. Again, to, you know, anyone listening, at least get the demo if you don't want to go out and buy it. Or look up YouTube videos. There's plenty of people who are putting up Let's Play videos. Check those out. This is not, if you're a huge fan of Aliens, give it some attention. Give it what it deserves, basically, to you know, be a suitable game.
Totally get Josh to review the game. I mean, he's great at hard games. He would do great at the review of this, dude.
You know what we should do? We should do is we should all, including you, Peter, we should all get the game and record it and put webcams up and see how much, since this is a horror game, see how much we freak out in the dark, and we could make a cool montage video of it, I think.
Be a YouTube freak out video or reaction video.
Yeah, pretty awesome. Anyway, moving on, the next game. This is not a very well-known game, but it is actually, I say it's not very well-known, it really is, but really only in the gaming community. P and Peter, help me pronounce this right. Archage?
I think everybody's doing Ark.
Archage? Okay. Archage. The movie, the game just launched, I think, was it last week?
Yeah, give or take.
Yeah, okay. And it's achieved 2 million copies, which is pretty impressive for an MMO that, correct me if I'm wrong, really has no, like, IP backing it. Like, this is a brand new IP that nobody knows, or am I wrong?
No. I mean, yeah, you're right. It's a new IP, but Trion is the developer, right?
Yeah, and they've been putting out, well, this is like their third or fourth MMO they've put out now.
Yeah, they did Rift, Defiance,
yeah,
which didn't do so well.
And I was a little concerned, and Peter, I know you've played this game. I don't know how much, but I know you've played it before. Is this a game that gamers should check out, or is it just trash?
Actually, I have not played it. I tried to play it, and they had such long wait queues that I couldn't wait around for it. It was like literally, they did really well with it. They did they just kind of played it really safe with their servers. So because they did that, they ended up having it so that people were like queued up, like how League does when it gets too busy, to where you had to wait. But the waits were like anywhere upwards of like 6 to 8 hours just to get a spot in. They were trying to do as best as they can with like booting people that were camping out and stuff. So the fact that this game is doing so well, it really blows my mind.
The game looks really fun. The graphics look way better. It looks like a Trion game as far as graphics are concerned. They've always done very well with that. But yeah, it does mention in the article that it was a rocky launch. I'm guessing they probably did have server troubles. It seems like they only have 21 servers, which wow. Seems like quite a bit, though, for a launch of a game. But of course, as time goes by, those servers will slowly dwindle, and you'll start seeing mega servers coming out. It's just pretty much inevitable. But one of the things they said I thought was kind of funny was, Trion has nerfed the chat for lobbies to counter chat spam, and hinted that the Aurora continent, okay, live in Korea already, will soon to be en route to Western players. Okay, when I read that, I was like thinking that was an actual like a continent I haven't heard of before on Earth, and I was like, what the heck is that? Is this what?
You were homeschooled, right?
When did this happen? Because it goes right into Korea right away, and I was like, "What? Oh, okay."
Yeah, anyway, sorry, Korea actually just bought that.
Yeah, it's okay. They deserve it.
Wow.
Anyway, so I'm really happy that the last MMO that I've seen that's actually launched with 2 million copies was The Old Republic, which
it's so well.
It did. No, it did. Actually, their launch was very good. They didn't have server problems. Well, I mean they had minor server problems from what I remember, but it did fine. 2 million is a really strong number to launch for an MMO that people haven't really heard of too much of. I know a lot of people stream the game, so if you're interested, oh, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, like I said, this is the first I've heard of it. So
really,
wow,
I'm surprised. Yeah, if you guys are interested in the game or want to check it out, like I said, there's a lot of people who are streaming the game. I do believe it is free to play. If I remember correctly, I could be completely wrong.
No, you're absolutely right. I was actually, sorry, I didn't mean to cut off for a second. No. I was actually looking up really quick, just for comparison's sake. It looks like A Realm Reborn for the first week only sold 31,000 copies. So to put that in comparison to 2 million copies in a week,
ouch.
I mean, that's impressive. Like, Square Enix is nothing to shake a stick at. So the fact that, Arcage did so well. That's really something.
Wow. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I feel really bad. It's really sad.
Now, yeah. If only every MMO could nerf chat for dumb people. I mean, newbies.
League.
Newbies. Yeah, League.
God. Yeah, that's what we're all hinting to. Ugh. Anyway. So yeah, if you're interested in the game, go check it out. It seems like a cool game, and honestly, I'll probably be checking it out soon if it is straight up free to play. It'll definitely be on my list. Okay, Skyrim mods. We're no strangers to the Skyrim mods. There's thousands of them out there.
Am I the only one that hasn't played Skyrim here?
I thought you bought Skyrim.
No,
I did.
I've not played it either.
Wow,
okay,
really?
Okay, good.
Yeah, the only reason I have not is because I'm actually really OCD with my games, and I haven't beaten Oblivion because I just get so lost in those worlds that I never finish them. So I was like, if I buy Skyrim, it's going to be the same thing. I want it really badly, but I can't justify it right now.
Yeah, it's tough, man. I played a lot of Skyrim, and then once I basically got so far off the beaten path where I couldn't remember what the story was, I was like, what am I doing? And then when I tried to get back on the main story quest, I couldn't find it.
So I said, the worlds are huge.
I'm done. Anyway,
I get lost in Walmart. I'm not buying this. Right. No, I'm not playing.
Oh man. So anyway, yeah, like there's so many thousands of mods out there for anything from having Mr. Krabs in the game to having Randy Savage to turning dragons into My Little Ponies.
Don't tell Josh that. he'll lose it. He's got a pony fetish. It's a problem. We're all aware of it.
He's a brony through and through, huh?
Oh yeah, he is. there's a slight problem. Anyway, the latest Skyrim mods have increased the graphics even more, which
you can guys did that with Oblivion, and now
they've also done it now with Fallout 3. Have you seen any new stuff on Fallout 3?
I've seen some mods, yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Anyway. You guys, you see these screenshots? Yeah, we'll post these in the chat. Oh, God. I did not mean to just do that.
Are you pressing your push to talk button?
There we go. I erased the image, but Control Z for the win.
Wow.
Anyway, I was trying to scroll and talk at the same time.
I look at those images and think, man, the frame rate I will have if I had that on my computer. Like 1, 2, 3 frames per second. Yeah.
Yeah. This basically is not for your wooden computers that are being powered by your toasters.
You're going to put some more gerbils in there to start running.
A lot more gerbils. This stuff looks insane. I have not seen a game look this good. I mean, that first picture is, and you know, hey, I just noticed something. That first picture, that helmet, Ian, that's a Mandalorian helmet. Dark Souls. Oh.
What were you going to say?
It looks like a Mandalorian helmet.
Yeah, I know. Which it also looks like one of the main helmets in Dark Souls. It's kind of funny.
Oh, wow. That's really funny.
That second screenshot of like the fire and the grass, whatever the hell's going on in there, that actually looks a little bit like the E3 demo for the Legend of Zelda game that's never going to come out ever. They're like, hey, look at this beautiful Zelda game that we're creating, but here's Hyrule Warriors. Go for it.
Well, you know, maybe they're just trying to give you something to help pass the time, like how Bungie did with ODST.
Nintendo's good for that. They did it, I think, almost a decade ago, whenever they showed Twilight Prince, or what would have been Twilight Princess, and then we ended up with Wind Waker, which, no big deal. I loved Wind Waker, but, I mean, it's they always tease us with this great game, and then they give us, like, this little, like, it's like an appetizer instead of the main dish. I'm like, look, I'm hungry. I want my main dish.
Yeah. And if this game does look just as good as Legend of Zelda, I'm going to be amazed because I don't know what it's going to run on. It ain't running on the Wii U.
What do you mean? The Wii U just got upgraded. Look, we're in seventh gen now.
I don't know how it can run on there, but I mean,
the PS4 is currently giving me cancer, and the Wii U is trying to save me.
They'll have to come out on the Wii U,
the Wii U too. No, the new Wii U, because they keep using the friggin' new tag on everything, and I hate it.
I was thinking, you know, Crytek, you know, they when the first Crysis game came out, they pretty much stunned the whole gaming community with the graphics and how it looks. And recently they basically were like, we don't really know what to do to wow you guys anymore. And then I look at these screenshots.
Boobs? I'm just saying.
Boobs are always good.
You look... Okay, wait a second. So, no, I mean, you look at some of the stuff, and I think about this, too, in terms of just technology in general, right? It's like they came out with 1080p televisions, and we were like, wow, that's phenomenal. And now we have Ultra HD televisions, and I'm like, I really don't see a difference. Except that Ultra HD TVs can be in 84 inches instead of 60, which who the god needs the whole wall to be a television?
Are you talking about 4K televisions?
Yeah, Ultra HD, 4K, it's all that same basic tag there.
And you have to take out a mortgage to get one, so.
Yeah, right. They start at like $10,000 and go up to like $16,000 for like top brands.
Yeah, no. I'm just going to wait till they're $300 like they are, like, you know, plasmas and LCDs are now.
I don't even have a 1080p TV.
Mine's 1080p, but it's 32 inches, and I'm fine with that. It satisfies me just the way I need it to. But, I mean, like, it's one of those things where you compare it. It's like you can get a $16,000 television, or you can buy a fully loaded Cobalt, or I guess it's the Chevy Cruze now, and literally be driving in a car instead of a television.
Yeah. I have a 55-inch DLP. That's in 1080p, and I only spent $600 on it. And people forget that DLPs are amazing. They're not flat, but they're not like the big, huge CR. I don't know if they're called CRTs anymore.
The ones with like the speakers included.
Yeah, yeah. But DLP, man, I've never had any problems with the picture. It's always been in high def. It's even got 3D capability on it. And $600, 55 inches.
I've never even heard of DLP, so that's the first time I've ever heard it. Yeah,
yeah.
Old technology they abandoned.
Yeah, they did abandon it. They don't make them anymore. It uses
digital light processing.
Yep,
that's what it stands for.
So basically, it was like the HD versus Blu-ray and HD lost.
Yeah. But hey, I've always enjoyed my TV. I can pick it up no problem by myself. It's not huge, even though it is 55 inches, like it's light. But yeah, people can shop, find good deals. Like Tiger Direct and Fry's. I mean, that was not our endorsements, by the way.
Better be.
We are not sponsored by anybody.
Guys, you owe us money now that we just gave you free advertisement.
I thought your mom sponsored the show, dude.
I mean, yes, of course she did. Love you, Mom.
Yep. And that was our tech segment, by the way, guys.
Hey.
TVs.
TVs.
TVs, man. Star Citizen. Guys, we bring up this topic a lot. Well, not so much recently, but we used to. Star Citizen has now reached a brand new achievement. It has now earned the Guinness World Records record for the most crowdfunding thing ever. Not just games, ever.
Let me just throw this out there. Okay.
Okay.
So what happens if this game comes out and it sucks? I mean, it does not look like it will. It looks amazing, but what if it sucks?
Hey, that's what everyone said about Tor. You know, like it's not gonna suck. It's not gonna suck. It's not gonna suck.
It can't possibly suck with that much money. Well,
so, the way I see it is, if you buy into it and it sucks, then you the sucker.
The game initially started with a $6 million goal back in 2012, and now it has reached $55 million.
Good God.
Just off of crowdfunding. They've literally not had to pay investors or pay back. they haven't had to worry about it. So, go ahead.
No, it's okay. I wrote an article about crowdfunding when the very first like big name crowdfunding thing by Double Fine came around, and I crowdfunding still kind of baffles me a little bit in terms of like the whole strategy, because when you break it down to like just the basics, you're basically paying for the belief in something. Like, I believe that this person's going to do well, So here's my money. Make this happen. And, you know, they try and spin it in all these fun ways. Like, oh, like, you give me money, I can do so much more because you've given me this money. But in reality, you don't know that. You have no idea. Like, you're basically – it's basically like putting a tangible I just wished on a star kind of thing.
Are you
That's
guys...
a good pun there. Yeah, it was. That's funny.
Wished on a star? Wink. Anyway.
Right.
Did you guys hear about the egg salad?
What?
Yes. That was weird.
Dude, some guy put on here he needed money for an egg salad. And it was like $5 was what he was trying to raise. And he put on there that...
I need another 12-pack of beer.
He put on there that... He was like, if you donate $1, I'll send you a picture of the egg salad, you know, and stuff like that. He raised like $15,000.
Oh, my God.
For an egg salad. Like, how do you even do that?
I'm just going to give up on life.
Yeah. Crowdfunding, I mean, man.
If I work for Star Citizen and I had $55 million, and I'd be like, okay, let's just hurry up and get the game done and spend the rest on margarita machines and karaoke.
There we go. Get those Margaritaville machines like that on South Park.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, South Park did just have an episode on crowdfunding. And the whole concept was, let's start a company where we don't have to do anything. And they boys called it...
I mean, EA? Oh, wait. Hold on.
No, actually, they were making fun of Kickstarter. Because Kickstarter is a company that literally does nothing except basically maintain servers. And they get 5% of each
budget.
That
takes a lot of work,
think about this, dude. They're going to get 5% off of $55 million.
That's disgusting.
For hosting a website.
Like, how can I not think of these friggin' ideas, honestly? Here, let me create a website where you guys can help other people out because you just feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're just dumb and you have money.
Right, you're a 50-50 shot. You're either really dumb or really hopeful. So, I don't know, or both.
We need to just start a Kickstarter for getting you guys like a new PC.
Yeah,
seriously,
it will happen one day. Trust me.
We'll make one. I'll get it. We'll make one. We'll make one, and we'll get a lot of people to pitch in.
I'm just gonna start working on the corner, you know.
Anyway, yeah. Congrats, Star Citizen. Congrats, Star Citizen, which everyone knows is the creator of... I'd pay for it, too. Anyway.
Thank you.
Who's the creator of Wing Commander. God, I hate you guys. I hate you. Jeez. Ian.
It's like, oh, hating the guest. Great.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow, we're already 30 minutes in. Alrighty, then. We need to move on. Let's see. We got time. We got time. Let's see. We spend like 10 minutes max on each one. We should be fine. Assassin's Creed Unity to run 900p at 30 frames per second on next-gen consoles. Meaning, not the Wii U, sorry. PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. This is, I feel like, okay news. I mean, I'm glad they're running at 900p instead of 720, but I don't think 720 and 920 is going to be that big of a difference. But then again, maybe that would affect its frame rate more. I feel like 30 frames is pretty sufficient for
well, I mean, that's like the minimum.
Yeah, but that's all you need
below 30.
But that's really all you need. I mean, am I wrong?
Well, I mean, Call of Duty praises itself being on 60 frames per second.
Oh,
and
well,
if
that's
you
also
remember
a
back when, what?
That's also a shooter.
It is, but if you remember back when the PS4 and the Xbox One were first being announced at, what, 2 years ago at E3? That was the big push, was a lot of games are going to be in 1080p. They promised a lot of games, you know, 60 frames per second. You know, it's not happening.
Yeah,
it's so.
I 1080p. Noticed, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say 1080p 60 was like the big keyword. That was like kind of the trigger. Like if you heard that a lot at E3, it was like this big thing. And honestly, I honestly believe that it's just like a marketing thing. Like, it's just there because everybody can say it. There's a website that you can go to. It's called 30versus60.com, and it's just VS instead of the whole word spelled out. And if you go there, you can actually see games side by side running 30 frames per second versus 60. And the only difference is it does run smoother. Like, you can absolutely tell the difference between the two, but it means nothing for the game itself. Like, it doesn't affect what you see. It doesn't affect what you're doing. There's no slowdown between the two if your hardware is running right, you know? It's just pretty.
I thought it was interesting that Ubisoft said that the game could be running at 100 frames per second if it was just graphics, but because of the AI, they're limited to 30. I have a hard time believing that the AI... Well, there's a ton of AI.
It was bottlenecked, so...
Yeah. I guess that makes sense now.
But going back to the 60 and 30, yeah. I played Dark Souls 1 on the Xbox, which is 30 frames per second, and it dips a lot in that game on the Xbox. And playing on the PC, it was like night and day. Like, I could not, I almost felt weird, like I'm moving too fast. I'm jumping around way too fast. I can't tell you how many times I fell off a ledge because I didn't think I'd go over there so fast, or I didn't think I'd take that extra step.
Sorry, Prowler. That is not frames per second. That is Dark Souls. I've run off cliffs too, and that had nothing to do with frames per second at all.
But I did notice a huge difference, like, especially in boss fights and stuff. But like I said, on the normal Xbox, it does drop below 30 at times during some situations. So, you know, on the PC, it's probably running on mine probably around 50, so maybe 60. I just thought it was, you know, I did notice it.
Yeah, most of the times that we compensate, like I said, you know, the consoles aren't built to, they pushing 30 frames per second constantly, that's like, I mean, that's peaking out on that generation of systems. So when it drops down, that's just because they were doing too much trying to keep it at that. But, you know, when those slowdowns happen, then we just compensate and we start functioning a little bit more slowly to make sure that we don't miss anything that we need to. But with your PC, how you're saying it's maintaining a 50 or 60, you know, it's because your hardware can keep up with that. And then it doesn't have to worry about stuff like that. You know, as it relates to Assassin's Creed Unity, I can totally see why they'd want to. I would rather have it be 900p at 30 frames and have some of those cutscenes where they were showing like 50 or 60 people just walking around. Like, it looks so lively and real. Like, I'd rather see that than see 60 frames a second and only have like 10 sprites on the screen at a time.
Yeah.
All of them shouting the same thing. Oi, what are you doing there climbing on that wall?
That's really
trying
funny.
To break in, duh.
I've never really had too much of an issue with frame rates how much I'm getting
good for you. Okay.
Well, because I learned to put up with what I'm getting and
right. I shouldn't get onto you. I should never get onto you.
Yeah, two things. You've seen my old computer with Left 4 Dead.
I don't know how you played, dude. It was like watching a picture gallery, you know. Just go back and forth like shooting?
I couldn't play with shadows, so there was no point to even having a light in the game. And then the worst though was playing World of Warcraft. My lag, I would get maybe 5 frames into that game, and the only way I could even play the game was if I was looking at the ground, like first person mode, looking straight at the ground at my feet and playing.
Because I didn't have to render anything.
Exactly. All I had to render was my feet in the floor.
Oh, man, that hurts.
And we all know how graphically intensive WoW is.
Exactly. So I've been able to put up with what I had. Oh, and remember when we used to play Guild Wars, Ian?
Oh, yeah.
I had a monitor that would cut out every, like, 2 minutes.
Yeah. I feel like that's dangerous for raids.
Oh, it was. Hey, I was good. Well, of course.
Well, see, now his problem is internet. Mm-hmm. Like, any time you play League of Legends and Lance could have saved you, oh, it's lag. Dude, I'm lagging. I don't know what happened. You could save me.
You can't deny it, though. You cannot deny it. If he says he's lagging, you can't say anything because he probably
could be. I'm
gonna
put like a monitor on your network and be like, "You aren't lagging at all. You just hate me."
You're like, now we see how you got the name Prowler.
You're like actually watching the stream. You didn't lag at all.
Just because I drove a windowless white van for a while doesn't mean anything, okay?
It can't be a windowless white van. That was old school. Now it's windowless white HHRs.
Oh my gosh.
That's the new age creeper
vehicle. I want
vehicle.
One of those. It looks like a hearse.
Oh god, no.
Anyway, real quick before we move on, I want to point out that with Assassin's Creed Black Flag, they had the same issue. Later on, it says just a few days after the PS4 was released. I'm sorry, the game was released on the PS4 version. Ubisoft put out a patch that was able to allow it to be bumped up to 1080p to improve the graphics. I'm assuming it's probably still at 30 frames. I'm not sure. But maybe we can see the same thing happen with Assassin's Creed Unity. Okay. We have to move on now. Let's go ahead and get to the next topic and only spend the next 10 minutes talking about it because I want to spend a good amount of time talking about Worlds.
I don't know. I think Peter may have a lot to say about this.
Okay. This is the topic is a CBS commentator urges gamers to go and play the real world. And
I hate you, guy. I hope you have a heart attack.
I'm gonna
and a stroke.
I'm gonna play just a short clip of it, probably the first 30 seconds, maybe a minute. As soon as I could do this ad, because I'm a noob and I forgot to play
keep,
the ad.
Keep
first.
In mind, this guy is middle aged. When he says he played video games, I'm like,
he's a middle aged
like
guy.
Pac-Man. Centipede? No. Yeah.
It was about as believable as him telling me that he also likes his job.
He's just mad because there were like three times as many viewers watching Worlds than this stupid segment on CBS.
Okay, I'm going to start playing it now.
Bad at life.
Growing up, I'd spend hours watching my friends finding the princess, racking up points and extra lives. Meanwhile, when it was my turn, it was pretty much game over as soon as the first weird mushroom Goomba man showed up. So if there's one thing I have a lot of experience with, it's watching other people play video games. And let me tell you, it's boring. Extremely boring.
Oh my God, he's on
Twitch. That's why I was so shocked to read of Amazon's recent acquisition of Twitch, a wildly successful online service that allows people to basically recreate the trauma of my childhood by watching other people play video games all day long. And it turns out, it's not just Twitch. There's actually a huge and growing market for video games as spectator sport.
Well, there it is, ladies and gentlemen, game one of the World Finals.
Live tournaments can sell out arenas like the Staples Center in LA. Childhood issues aside, here's the part I don't get. If video games are themselves a notorious time waster, why exactly would someone want to watch someone else waste their time? What's next? A network that lets you watch other people mindlessly scroll through their Facebook newsfeed?
Oh my gosh.
Or binge watch Orange is the New Black? The amazing thing about this digital age is that it allows us to observe all kinds of things all around the world that we otherwise wouldn't be able to see. And if we squint hard enough, it almost seems like it is the real world, but it isn't. And I think we've got to remember that. The real world has a smell and a feel to it that still can't be recreated online or in any game. And here's a fun fact. Did you know the real world is broadcasting in 3D all the time? I know. Amazing. The hard thing about the real world is that there isn't a controller for it. You can't just move people around with your super strength or jump over things if they're in your way. The real world is a game you spend your entire life trying to master. and probably never will. It's full of heartbreak and triumph and genuinely terrifying moments, and it remains, for now anyway, the most interesting game any of us will ever play.
There is a remote to mute him, though.
You guys have no idea how bad I'm raging. Like, I just can't, I can't even deal with him. Like, I feel like a typical, like, just, I can't even, okay? I just can't.
I was looking at the comments.
You don't know what to say. You're like,
I went straight.
Did that guy really say that?
I went straight to the comments, and this is what I found. Old man yells at Cloud from The Simpsons.
Yeah, honestly, it's like he's so bitter. Like, just get off of it. Honestly, like, it. Okay, so I'm just gonna say one thing because I could literally talk about this forever.
Sure, sure.
But
go ahead.
I mean, the only thing that I can say is, like, on the games like League of Legends and things like that are becoming a more of a well-known quote-unquote sport. You know, they all call it esports and things like that. If people get enjoyment out of doing that as opposed to going out and shooting up schools or, you know, drugs or any other, like, terrible thing that you can do, let them sit at home and watch it. What's the difference between them watching a video game that they enjoy as opposed to watching something on television or something on Netflix?
Yeah. That's one of my biggest things about it was I do agree that, yeah, I mean, a lot of people play video games to escape reality. I do that. That's why games are fun. And like you said, if there's not that gap there to fill that need, I don't know. Like, what would people do? You know, it's better for them to find something like that than, like you said, than something that's self-destructive or hurtful to others or, you know, just whatever.
Right.
And,
I mean,
and he's on a TV station. Yeah.
Right. Like, don't watch people... video games. Watch him because he's going to tell you about why you shouldn't be watching him.
Because 30 years ago, you know, all we did was watch TV. Get out of the house. Stop watching TV. Okay, I will definitely stop watching this program.
And no matter what he says, he is still haunted by his childhood because he couldn't jump over that one mushroom-shaped Goomba guy. Troll. Learn how to play a video game and don't hold the controller upside down and maybe you'd win. All right, I'm done.
Come on, Lance, you gotta have something.
Yeah, no, I was waiting for you guys to finish. It does really bother me a lot how much he was getting on about Twitch because, you know, so many people have likened Twitch streaming and to the popular streamers that, like, it's watching a TV show. Like, yeah, you're watching somebody playing a video game, but it's entertaining. It's not like the people who just sit there mindlessly playing a video game and just don't really say anything or give any commentary, those people don't really gain much of a following. It's the ones that are entertaining and fun to watch. It's no difference. It's no different than any other TV show or movie.
It's also social.
Oh man, what was that movie with Gerard Butler in it that was like a video game?
Gamer.
Yeah, Gamer.
Best movie ever.
God, that movie was terrible, but I had to watch it. You know, it was a movie about people watching a person basically playing a video game.
If you really get down to the root of what he was talking about too, like, he didn't understand the whole Amazon, you know, acquiring Twitch thing. The fact is Amazon made a really sound business decision. They saw something that was growing in popularity that had a lot of potential for profit, essentially. And they took it. Like, how can you knock somebody for doing that? That's what I don't get.
It was worth around $1 billion for them? Yeah, it was.
Yeah, something like that.
Definitely something in it for them, and they see it. And I honestly was worried when Google Plus had Twitch in their eyes, in their sights. But now that Amazon has it, I don't really know what Amazon could do with it, but I feel safer with Amazon having, you know, the rights to Twitch. So. You know, hopefully we'll see something great come from it in the future.
Yeah, I believe we will.
Okay, yeah, well, that was perfect. Like,
we
could have
totally had a show just on that.
Oh, yeah. Dude, if Josh was here, too, we'll have to bring that up to Josh.
No, if we had Josh here, there would just be beeps throughout his whole little rant, and we'd be like, well, we can't use it now. So
we'll have to get more of the Mario coins. Bleep them out with the Mario coins.
My God.
Anyway, well, now we're moving on to our League of Legends segment. Now, we finally made it to the quarterfinals.
Like you said, we...
Yeah, we did, man. North America. Two North American teams made it to the quarterfinals. That's the farthest that we've ever made it, okay? That is. Am I wrong?
I don't know.
I'm new to this whole thing. I'm relying on you guys, so...
So, obviously, this game and basically any game that's not a shooter, Koreans are going to dominate in it.
Hey, that's racist.
What? It's true. The analysts even basically said the same thing.
Yeah, I know. They're like, well, I mean, they're Korean. They're going to win.
That is all you ever hear, too. I'm just like, really? Is it really that big? Like, Koreans, yeah. Really? And then I saw, like, there was a thing, not to segue too much, but about StarCraft. And there's actually a whole school for StarCraft people. So I'm like, I get it.
Yeah, StarCraft is actually Korea's pastime.
Right.
Yeah, so it's a big deal. So, yeah, the Korean teams do take the stuff to a whole other level. They're a whole lot more serious with this than the Americans or Europeans or anyone else. Actually, real quick, the entire series of Worlds so far has seen new regions. Like, we saw Turkey and we saw Brazil that never made it to Worlds before.
Wasn't there a Polish team?
Maybe.
I don't think they made it to Worlds, but there's a Polish team.
Josh needs to go join.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, dude. Let's go to that team.
Anyway, we're going to go over the standings real quick of each segment or each bracket, and then we'll talk a little bit about some of the games that we were able to watch. So Samsung White went against Team Solo Mid with Samsung 3-1. Samsung Blue went against Cloud9 with Samsung also 3-1. Starnhorn Royal Club went against Edward Gaming. Starhorn was 3-2. And Nijin White Shield went against OMG with OMG 3-0. So, I just wanted to point out, I noticed Nijin White Shield was the only team that did not win a single game in this series in the quarterfinals.
And they're Korean.
And they are Korean going against a Chinese team. Which Chinese teams, obviously, Chinese teams, we can't say that they're all great because look at, LMQ and
OMG, Starhorn, Well Club.
Yeah. But they've
Edward
all made
Gaming.
It through. So we're very well going to see. We have in the semifinals coming up next is Samsung White versus Samsung Blue and Starhorn Royal Club versus OMG. So we are going to see Korean versus Chinese in the finals at this point, which is going to be interesting.
Asian versus Asian.
Exactly. Anyway, the Samsung White and Team Solo Mid. Peter, did you by any chance catch any of their games?
I think the only game that I saw was the one we all watched at the end of my one Twitch session, which was Samsung Blue versus Cloud9. That was the only one I was able to catch.
Gotcha. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about that one first, then we'll go into Team Solo Mid. It's funny, the analysts all predicted that Samsung Blue and Cloud9 would take home, would win 3-1. Cloud9 actually put up quite an amazing fight. The first game, I think that was the first game they won.
They did amazing.
Yeah, like, I thought, oh my god, Cloud9 might actually have a shot at this. And then basically, I believe what happened was Samsung Blue was able to adapt to what they saw in the first game and was able to change. Because from what I've understood from the analysts and from other people is that Samsung Blue is really good at adapting in five games matches. Anyway, I was kind of sad, but I kind of expected that Cloud9 would lose, mainly because they were North America's only hope left after TSM left. It was a small little hope, glimmer of light. Anyway.
And Cloud9's always been kind of inconsistent. I mean, they're one of the best teams in the world. It's just they've had moments of like, huh? And they've had great, you know, insane, awesome moments. So, to me, they're very inconsistent at times.
You were telling me before, a lot of that has to do with High, which is he their shot caller?
Yes.
Yeah. So, that can be kind of a problem when you have an inconsistent shot caller.
His shot calling, to me, was good the entire series. It was just his actual play was poor during some of those matches.
I see. I actually ended up falling asleep after the second game, after they lost the second game, which sucked because at that point I knew it was going to be like, oh my god, this is going to be taking forever. And I passed out. So I didn't get to catch what happened, but it was disappointing.
Yeah, that's kind of what bummed me out about it. Like, I watched the first game, and I think I got about to where you pretty much fell asleep too, because you know, I watched the first game, and I actually got really excited. You know, I'm very new to the community, so I don't know a lot of like what's going on. But you can always tell like when everything is flowing with your team. You know, you see all of the connections and things like that, and everything's working the way you want it. And you saw a lot of that with Cloud9 in the first game. And then you saw the rest of the games, and it was just like they fell apart. You know, even in the second game, it was just like, I mean, they were getting wrecked, like just by everyone.
And the sad thing is like you would expect that they would tilt after a first loss, but it's like they tilted after in the second game, which didn't really. I guess after they started losing a few kills, is when they started tilting.
But, no, that's what I saw too.
Yeah. It's a sad story, but expected. Team solo mid went against Samsung White and the analyst. Every single one of them, all five of them said that, or four of them, said that Team Solo Mid would not take home a single game from Samsung. I mean, they were pretty hard on TSM. I was pretty upset. But actually, they lost the first two games, and you would expect them to just basically tilt on the third game. But they were able to secure two kills at first blood. I mean, two kills at level one, which kind of reversed the tilt, and they were able to pull off some really great plays. And as we know, as TSM, they're absolutely amazing at doing team plays. Their laning phase could be stronger, but whenever you get them together, it is, even when they're behind, they're still really strong. It was really sad to see. Imp was the Samsung White ADC, and surprisingly enough, even though he's basically considered to be the best ADC in the world, Wild Turtle on Team Solo Mid gave him a run for his money, and
he did really good.
I believe he out CS'd him on every single game, which is a big.
And they immediately banned Lucian after that first game. It was just or the game he played Lucian. They're like, nope, we're not having that anymore.
But unfortunately, Imp was able to pull off a pentakill at the dragon fight, and that kind of turned the tide for them, which actually was his second pentakill at Worlds. So yeah, he's a good player. It's amazing. But anyway, for the sake of time, we won't go into the other two games. I don't know if you guys had anything else to add to those two games. No? Okay.
No, I was looking through the stats, and I'm like, shit, sorry, I was creating all this little marks in the doc. But I was like reading through the stats and stuff and like trying to see if there's even anything that you can like notice in just like numbers to try and figure everything out. But it's not like there's no like pattern or anything, because even in the games that you're referring to, TSM versus Samsung White, there's not like nobody's like really high in the lead or anything. So it must have been just in the gameplay itself. Like something must have jived really well that made it so that they can take that as well as they did.
Yeah, it's So, I mean, sometimes in the heat of the moment, things can turn. That's why I, whenever we're playing League, I have a really hard time surrendering, because things can happen at the most random times, and it can really turn the tide of a game.
That, and you're always too optimistic. You know, the Nexus is going down. No, we got this, guys. We got it.
Oh. I'm coming back in 5 seconds with an ult. I can take care of this.
The screen says defeat Lance. No, it doesn't.
Oh, man. Well, we are... Oh, okay. Well, that's time for us now, apparently. Wow, we're like 20 seconds over. Oh, well.
Good job, Lance.
Oh, well. I'll just have to tell everyone listening live, you know, tune in to downloads to finish hear the rest. Anyway, that's it for the show, guys. Thanks so much, Peter, for joining us. It was really awesome to have you on here.
Yeah, thank you for having me again. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we'll have you on here definitely again at some point.
If you can put up with us.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really fun. It's kind of difficult sometimes to find like good guest speakers that can contribute quite a bit to the conversation. So, yeah, it was really a pleasure having you. Anyway, guys, check out our Facebook page. It's Rage Quit Radio. Our Twitter, MLR Rage Quit Radio, and our stream on Twitch at Rage Quit Radio. And don't forget to check us out on there and follow, like us. You get a lot of the recent news and things that we did to cover here, and more updates on news as soon as it comes out and news on tech. Again, thanks so much for listening, and we hope you guys all have a great day. Good night, everyone.